While President Morsi deals with the fallout from his power grab at home, the ceasefire that he helped broker in Gaza survives, at least so far. For more on the latest from Israel and Gaza, we're joined by Anthony Kuhn in Jerusalem and Philip Reeves in Gaza City. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Scott.
Philip, let's start with you there in Gaza City. You've been out on the streets today and tonight. What's the thinking of and feeling of many people there? Do they believe that Hamas has scored some kind of victory?
Yes, a lot of Gazans do actually believe that. That may seem strange, given the loss of more than 160 lives, you know, civilians and children included, hundreds of wounded, hundreds of buildings destroyed or damaged. But many here believe that Hamas stood up to Israel. They think that Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, launched the military offensive on Gaza to bolster his support ahead of elections in Israel in 2 months' time. They think he wanted a ground invasion, but was forced to accept a ceasefire because of Hamas's robust response. And I think the fact that Hamas and other militant groups were able to fire rockets that reached Tel Aviv, Israel's commercial capital, and also got close to Jerusalem is a source of particular pride here. They haven't done that before. The fact that the hundreds of these rockets were fired out of Gaza and most of them were intercepted or didn't hit their targets doesn't seem to affect this narrative. People think they managed to instill panic and fear among Israelis.
Philip, what do Hamas and its supporters want now in coming ceasefire negotiations?
One of the big focuses of interest when it comes to what they want next is, of course, the lifting of the blockade. But people here are quite sceptical about that. There's an understanding from people I've been talking to that if it happens at all, it'll be a very long time in the negotiating. And I think there's also scepticism about how long this ceasefire will hold. Let's not forget that only yesterday there was a flurry of concern surrounding its possible survival after Israeli forces shot a Palestinian in southern Gaza.
Anthony Kuhn in Jerusalem, how were Israelis seeing the deal their government made to bring about this ceasefire?
Opinion is very mixed, Scott, but there's been quite a bit of criticism from some Israelis, particularly in the south, who are most vulnerable to rocket fire, who feel that the military operation really should have continued because otherwise Hamas and the other militants will rearm and start firing rockets at them again before long. Now, if Hamas does rearm, which it says it will do, then some Israelis ask, should the government invade Gaza and topple Hamas? Now, Israeli officials have hinted that this is the only long-term solution to the problem, but it was clear that this was not an option this time. The military was poised to invade, but an invasion was not listed as an actual goal of the military operation. Why? Because, first of all, if they had, then they might still be fighting at election time. It would have interfered with elections. And also, they were getting a lot of diplomatic pressure from Western governments, particularly the U.S. All this raises the fundamental question of, you know, what should be done with Gaza? Who should rule it? Direct rule would be a problem for Israel. Indirect rule through Hamas is still a problem.
And in a sense, Anthony, is the Gaza situation a sideshow, or maybe even more accurately, a kind of warm-up act for Israel's main strategic concern, which is Iran?
Well, it's certainly part of the same picture in this area. It's true, Israel sees Iran as its principal strategic adversary, and it believes that it may have an atomic bomb as early as next spring or summer. Now, in the region, Iran's main allies include Hezbollah, the Shiite militant group in Lebanon, to Israel's north. Also, there's Syria, but that regime has its hands full with a civil war at the moment. Now, in Gaza, we should mention that while Hamas gets missiles from Iran, it has become somewhat estranged from the Iranian government because some people in Hamas side with the Sunni rebels fighting the Syrian regime. But Iran has good ties with the other main Islamist faction in Gaza, which is Palestinian Islamic Jihad. So if Israel gets into a fight with Iran, it must contend with the possibility of threats from Gaza and Lebanon. But of those, Hezbollah is the better armed and the better trained adversary.
How soon do you think we might see any kind of development in the negotiations that are ahead? Any kind of change in the situation there on the ground?
Well, Scott, there have been reports that, in fact, Egyptian intelligence is already brokering negotiations. And the two sides are staking out positions in the media, with Hamas saying, for example, that the ceasefire says nothing about Hamas and the militants group's right to rearm themselves. So there's going to be sparring on this over these main issues all along.
Based on what you both know in the region and what you've seen on the ground there so far, has President Morsi weakened the hand that he might have had in negotiations going forward if he has to contend with dissatisfaction with his rule at home in Egypt?
I haven't heard anyone express that thought. I think it's important to realize that Hamas sees its relationship with the new government in Egypt as extremely important. And one of the reasons it's been bolstered by events in recent days is because people here believe that it's ended its period of isolation internationally and now has some political clout on the global stage, and people value that. I think the other issue that is preoccupying Palestinians is the possibility that off the back of the recent developments and their perceived victory, there will now be a move to unify, ending the rift that has been there for a long time now between the Palestinian Authority of the West Bank and Hamas, who rule the Gaza Strip.
Philip Reeves in Gaza City, Anthony Kuhn in Jerusalem. Thank you both very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Scott.
You're listening to NPR News.